Welcome to Keep Making Movies, the podcast where we explore, shall we say, movies that may have needed a bigger budget. We evaluate the movie for what it is, decide if it could have been improved with a budget, and if it'll join our Keep Making Movies official recommend list. I'm your host, KJ, and with me is...
Tom.
Today we are discussing Isaac Esbon's Parallel. This is Isaac Esbon's third feature-length film following The Incident and The Similars.
In this film, we have a group of tech geeks who I believe are living in Seattle, and they're in a home together developing what actually looks like a really good app for parking, selling a parking space. If you have a public parking space, being able to sort of sell it on the fly, a kind of the urban parking version of Airbnb. And unfortunately, their competition beats them out for the sale. So since they're second to the game, it looks like their company's going to go broke. And there we have Devin, who's sort of the moral heart of the piece, Noelle, who's our villain, Liana, who's the female character, because we need a female character, and she's an artist, and Josh, who's just some other guy who's also there. And what they discover in a kind of drunken stupor as they are trying to get over their defeat is that there is a secret floor in the home that they've rented. They go upstairs and they find a mirror. And the mirror in this secret floor leads them into parallel universes in which they can see different versions of themselves. Fortunately for them, time runs a bit slower there, and so they're able to complete all of the stuff to make their parking app as quickly as possible, sell it, make a ton of money, but then they keep going back into the parallel universes and pulling out interesting inventions and findings and money from the alternate universes and using it to get ahead in the world in unjust and unfair ways. And eventually this kind of blows up in their face as violence ensues, mixing up identities happens, and some of our characters begin to seek power over the others. And what ends up happening is Noel, the evil Swedish guy, he tries to basically trade out some of the people for their parallel people. Josh ends up getting killed, and they bring in another Josh from another universe. He tries to sort of take advantage of the female character, Lena, and eventually Devin, the moral heart, teams up with Liana to lock Noel in another parallel universe. As he's coming back through the mirror, they lock the mirror, they can close it so it disconnects from the other world. And Josh, who's in media res between the two universes, gets slit in half and dies. Somehow they clean this up and then they go along their way, but it's revealed that Liana might actually be a not real Liana, or a Liana from another universe.
I think somebody else comes and swaps in that.
Yeah, she's a fake Liana. She's not this universe's Liana. We don't know why this is a big reveal, or what the consequences of this will be, or what when it happened. But that's the reveal the movie ends on. It's not as confusing as the hypothetical road trip Liana and Devin are going on. I don't know where they're going. That doesn't seem like they need to go anywhere, but there they go. But anyway, that's how it ends. There you go.
So Tom, what do you think the goals of the creators were?
With this multiverse, the idea of the multiverse is something fairly new in physics. And what it does is it offers us a number of interesting philosophical debates about free will and determinism and what have you, where your decisions aren't determined by your biology or the mechanics of the world in this kind of Newtonian way, but actually every single decision you've ever made is out there somewhere. And with this, the creators to speak generously, I think are looking at what really would vary in a society if you were able to look at every parallel universe. And their conclusions are kind of interesting. They seem to be saying, basically, there wouldn't be much variation. You know, yes, you would be free, but those kind of freedoms would sort of cancel out in terms of making another parallel universe that kind of looks like the parallel universe you're in. What's interesting then would be what changes from universe to universe, which tends to be, at least in this film, kind of the arts and certain entrepreneurial gains here or there, not radical ones, but there seems to be just slight differences in aesthetic preferences. And I think the goals of the creators, again, speaking very generously, is to explore what is, I think, unique, which is, yeah, parallel universes exist, but we're going to suggest that really what changes is slight differences in aesthetic valuation. And then I think the rest of it is, you know, if you could do anything, if you could be anyone, what would you do? And some of us would fool around, some of us would take advantage of it, but we would be tempted, deeply tempted, to do some immoral, unethical things to get ahead in this world. You know, that type of thing. Because there's an added ethical framework of, if there's an infinite amount of you and you hurt one of these versions of yourself, how much damage are you actually doing? Right? That ethical problem kind of bubbles up. What do you think, KJ? What do you think the goals of the creators were?
You know, Tom, I'm really not sure. I think you kind of touched upon it last week during the first impressions. Let's start with the goals of the characters. We don't know. They're never expressed. The movie's hard to follow because we don't know what the characters want. So if there's a conflict, it's hard to know what the resolution might be because some things we kind of know, but they're all vague and then get muddled with the parallel universes instead of nailing down some of the goals, right? If the artist wanted to create great art, how could the parallel universe help her? Well, I don't know. If the tech guy wanted to create incredible tech things like the parking app, you're selling something that's kind of yours, I guess. But if he wanted to make cool tech stuff, how could the parallel universes help him? The movie doesn't have an answer to that.
It doesn't make sense. No. I think the mechanics of it, I think you're exactly right. And I think some of what the characters want, we do know. At the beginning of the movie, we do know what they want. It's pretty concrete. It's they want to make this parking app.
I think they want to make money off the parking app.
They want to.
Right? They have a passion for this idea. This is the dollars we're going to snag.
Yeah. Yeah. They want to be disruptors and, you know, they want to be entrepreneurs and what have you. I think the female character at one point, Lena, right? Lena? Just keep calling her the female character, but the cast does have that like one of each type thing going on. It's a little annoying anyway, but Lena does seem to have at one point wanted to be an artist and it just didn't work out. So now she's doing graphic design for companies, which somehow is supposed to be worse. I don't know, but, or prevent her from doing art, which is another laughable thing because she doesn't seem to do anything all day. But we have those goals, and it seems like Noel, our villain, his goal is to be the next Steve Jobs, right? I don't think he loves tech or anything like that. I think he wants people to admire him.
Well, I think I have a lot to say about Steve Jobs that I don't think we have to get into, but I think he just wants the money. Maybe some of the prestige and the fame, but I don't think if tech is the easiest way to get there, he's going tech. It's not.
Sure.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I get the impression when he's at that party where he's kind of introducing things that he's liking the attention and what have you. He wants, I think it's part of the problem that you're making clear to me is he wants things that he shouldn't, according to the morality of the film, which is money, attention, the love of that blonde chick.
The problem is those are boring things for a character to want.
Yeah. They're uninteresting, and it would be better, and I think as you're saying, like, if he wanted just to be rich, right? Like, fine, we could do something with that. If he really wanted, if he really admired a tech disruptor or these like Seattle-based entrepreneurs, you know, Bill Gates comes to mind because they're in Seattle. If he really like admired those people and wanted to be like them, that would be something. But as you're pointing out, like, I guess it's money he wants because everybody wants money, and
Right.
you know, he doesn't. Does he buy anything with the money? It's not like he gets a new car. He just
Right? Yeah,
he
he
seems to
never
literally just
enjoys it or
want the money.
yeah, they're still in the same house. It's not like yeah.
And the house, you can explain that they can't leave it.
Well, they can't leave it behind. But they don't
Yeah, but
have
they
to.
can get them. They can buy houses of their own, and so that's a problem. The moral center, Devin. So Devin does have a kind of clear goal eventually, but it's not clear at the beginning, which is
Eventually. It is
eventually.
not clear at the beginning. So, audience, the one of the things we didn't mention is the movie starts with a prologue where a woman presumably comes out of the mirror, finds herself, kills her other self so that she could pick up this life. And later on, you find out her husband had died in her world, so she came to this world to live with her husband. So the parallel there is for Devin, who keeps looking at his phone and reading the same headline over and over again about his dad. It took me forever to realize that that was going to be the parallel to the story of the woman in the beginning. I couldn't make the connection there. Does he like his dad? Does he not like his dad?
You get this story though. And the problem with Devin, what ends up happening with Devin is his dad had committed some sort of, you don't even get the crime, but some sort of white collar crime in a small town. He was made fun of it, made fun of for it. He told his dad, "I hate you," and then his dad committed suicide. So he's looking for the universe eventually in which his dad is not ha has not committed suicide. So he can talk to his dad. And so every time, what you're talking about, when he looks at the newspaper article, it's every time he goes into a new universe, he looks up to see, did his dad commit suicide in this universe?
Got it.
That's why he's looking at that all the time. It's he's checking it in different universes.
You'd think he'd go faster.
Yeah, I know.
Just
It
jump in and out. Like, what's
yeah. It's really drawn out. It's not introduced until late in the second act of the movie. I don't remember when it's introduced. Nothing particularly triggers it. And so at the beginning of the movie, what you get is this guy who like wants to make this company, but kind of, he's kind of he's a little more risk averse, I think, than the other characters. So he's willing to jump ship when things go wrong.
Well, but that felt tacked on too. It's like, you know
It
what
is
happened last
tacked on.
time? He walked away for a month or something, so the whole thing fell apart. Like,
Which I'm not entirely sure what they're talking about there. So his stuff is, like you're saying, it's there, but it's tacked on, right? It's very processed. It's not very believable. Then you have the guy who gets killed, Joel. Is that his name?
Josh.
Josh. Josh's incentive seems to be to sleep with the bartender.
Yeah, which is a little confusing because I guess she lives across the street, right? Because the first time we see her, she's across the street with another guy, and he's just looking out the window longingly.
Yeah,
And
so
then she's the bartender.
yeah, I get, and I think she's into the villain, but that never goes anywhere. Like at the beginning, she mentions like being into the villain, and you know, that they never pick up that thread again, which could have been maybe interesting, like a love triangle. But the villain doesn't seem to be that interested in like seducing women, except for Lena.
Well, and I don't even know who that is. The other thing, the characters swap quite a bit. I'm convinced they swap very often. Like way more than maybe we think. Or even if they didn't, maybe they did, maybe they didn't. There's nothing in the movie to telegraph who's who if there is a parallel. So that Noel, the main villain in the movie, he meets with himself eventually. Like he's in cahoots. It even suggests that the one that we've been following for a good chunk of the movie isn't the original one. It's somebody who's already gone around and gathered these tech, and he just finds the best tech of any given universe, brings it to the other universes to sell it to make the money, And he can just keep doing that over and over again.
Mm-hmm. I think we're supposed to be led to believe that the original Noel is the Noel who dies at the end. And I think the implication there is that there's something uncomfortable about being in the other universe. If you're not in your universe, there's something like slightly off.
And we see that with Josh, right?
You see that with Josh. We also see that with Noel, because he can't date another Lena, because there's something slightly off about them. So he needs that Lena in the
original. Oh, so you think that was the original Noel coming after the original Lena?
Yes.
It wasn't another Noel just trying another Lena.
No, I think he is, because you see him, he has photos of the other Lenas he's dated.
Which to me said, oh, so this isn't the original. It's just somebody going around, and he happens to be in our universe now.
No, because what he says is, I've dated all these women, and there's just something wrong. They're not you.
Well, I'm assuming he said that to every one of them.
Oh, probably. But I think the reason why he's back looking for this woman, right? Because he apparently has no problem dating the other Lenas. Because you see in the photographs, they seem to be consenting to whatever it is they're involved in.
And that's why I'm trying to find your evidence for why you think this is the original Noel, why you think it's from this universe.
Oh, because he has no reason to lie to her at that point, right? Because he comes in and he goes, I've been to other universes. They're not you.
Yeah, but that's not a lie if he's another Noel.
I guess he could also be another Noel, but why would he come to this universe?
Because he's just going through all of them. Why did he go to the other ones?
Oh,
and do
I mean,
you have
guess
a choice what universe you go to? That was another thing that was a little unclear, right?
You don't.
So
you
is there a bit of quantum leap situation going on here?
Although they always
seem to come back to their own when they come back.
They always come back. So they do lay out these rules. There is always a 30-second to 3-hour difference.
Right.
So 3 hours in any alternative universe is only 30 seconds and hours. They seem to go to different universes every time they jump in, but they always come back to this one when they
That's
come
true.
Back.
Yep.
They cannot move the mirror. The mirror is in the perfect angle and position for
yep.
them to go through. So they can't like take the mirror with them or mirror into a mirror into a, you know, anything like that. That's forbidden. So those rules seem to be pretty clear. I guess what you're, yeah, I mean, hypothetically, I guess it could be just another Josh who's trying different universes, but why would that matter? You know, like what would that do for
Right, for the and plot? That fits in better with the rest of the movie.
That's true. Yeah. Because we don't know why Lena is the fake Lena.
Well, at the end, I'm assuming that was another mirror in that bathroom. In the end, another Lena came out and got her because she didn't like her universe, so now she's going to go hang out with Devin in this one. And she either captured Lena Prime and threw her into the mirror, or maybe killed her and left her in the bathroom. That would parallel the prologue a little bit more.
Yeah, but there is no, we never are given in the prologue another mirror.
No.
Right? There's only one mirror.
Well,
I mean, it has
in the prologue, there's like 50 mirrors, but there's only one that seems to go through.
Oh, yeah, there's only one portal. Right. Yes, one portal mirror.
But this movie is filled with mirrors. There's
all
over.
It's their motif or their objective correlative, to use the T.S. Eliot term. It's a little on the nose, but it's a lot on the nose. Yeah, your nose will be crushed by the end of it. But it's a movie. Yeah, I did. So you think at the end Lena went through a mirror in the bathroom?
Well, I think another Lena came through the mirror in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then either killed Lena Prime or whatever, disposed of her out of this universe,
mm-hmm.
killing her, throwing her through a mirror, whatever, tying her up.
Mm-hmm.
And
so,
now
somehow
she gets to live with Devin in this universe like the wife did originally.
And so so for this to be true, there has to somehow be another mirror.
Right.
That mirror had to be accessed by another Lena at the time when Lena Prime is in the bathroom.
Right, and they can know that because of this 30-second to 3-hour rule. Right, if other Lena came in and hung out and try to track down where Devin and Lena were going, hop back into her universe, so it reset a little bit or however that works,
mm-hmm.
and now she knows she's going to be in this bathroom, easy peasy.
But you would still need a new portal in the bathroom.
Right. You have to assume there's more than one portal
You'd have to
on
assume there's more than one
Earth.
portal, and then there would have to be a reason, which was never given.
Well, again, that kind of fits in with the rest of the. But the
Yeah.
reason might be because the Devon in her world. Again, I'm trying to parallel the prologue here. The Devon in her world isn't cool or doesn't exist or died or whatever.
And somehow, but you'd also have to do the thing where it's like she wants to be with Devin, which isn't really, it's not explained in this world why they run off together at the end.
No, that's true.
Like why, so they would
Well,
have
no,
to.
she's kind of into Devon because when one of the fake Devons comes, they get together. Not fake, one of the other parallel
Right,
Devons.
they do sleep together. Oh God, I
Yeah.
even forgot about that. Why do they sleep together?
Well,
Because they're in
the I,
this.
so I guess
That's
to keep answering the goals of the creator,
all we're doing, gonna do today.
I think they had a pile of ideas of what do you do if you have parallel universes, and then just kind of struggled to connect them and put them together. So it's like, oh, I would go find my other self, and then we would take over the world, right? That's kind of what Noel did. You might have like, oh, a sleazy version like that other Devon that came to just, but
Or Josh. Josh seems to be the more sleazy one.
yeah, but
He really is being pretty sleazy.
oh no, yeah, that's true. I forgot. So he goes universe to universe being sleazy. Right, absolutely. Yeah. But I'm just the Devon that comes to get with Lena, that was also a pretty sleazy move because he didn't declare himself non-prime Devon. Right? Noelle sent prime
But he
Devon to the
didn't
shore.
know. Non-prime Devin didn't know he was non-prime.
Right. I'm saying I'm saying Devon too was sleazy.
But
Right,
wasn't.
Noelle said, "Hey Devon, did you want to get with Lena?" "Yeah, sure. All right, come to this universe. I'm going to send other Devon to the shore
But he
house."
did. Wait. Devin Be Let's call him Devin Beta because
Devon
whatever.
2 is.
Devin 2, yeah. I think De Devin 2 did not know he's Devin 2.
You think he came from another universe? Noel put him through the mirror. He didn't know that that happened, and then he got with Lena.
Yeah, he didn't know that. He did not know about the mirrors.
Then how did he get to our universe? Or I'm saying
Noel,
to
Noel, I keep calling him Noel.
like drugged
Noel
him.
drugged him and dragged him through like they did with Josh.
So Noel said, "All right, Devon Prime, you gotta go to the shore house because I'm gonna drug Devon
No, I,
too."
at the shore house, that's already Devin 2.
No, that's Devon Prime at the shore
That's
house.
not, no, the shore house that he drives away and then she has to go find him, right?
That's Devon Prime.
That's
Because
not Devin
Noel
Prime.
sent him there. Noel sent him there to get him out of the house
No.
because he knew too much, and he brought a new Devon into the house. That's who slept with Lena.
No. I'm pretty sure Devin at the shore house had no idea what was going on.
I agree. We're saying the same thing. Noel takes Devon Prime that has no idea. Oh, has no idea what's going on? He doesn't even know about the mirrors or
I
anything?
don't think Devin at the shore house knew
So
anything about
that's not
mirrors.
Devon Prime. So the
He
movie
didn't
doesn't
know
even
anything about the
end
prime.
with the original Devon?
I don't think so, no.
Huh. I thought that
I
was still Devon Prime. No,
thought
she
he.
said that was a great time last night or whatever. And then he looked at her weird and she said, "You have no idea." Oh, no, you're right. Then she says, "This is going to sound really weird, but Noel has been lying to you." Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. But wait, have they slept together already?
Yeah, they
They
slept together.
slept
Yeah.
together already. N Noel sees it in the glasses. Right? He looks through the glasses and sees them in bed together. He does. And after that, he drugs him and takes him into the mirror.
Oh, okay. So, and the road trip, that's not Devon Prime.
I don't think so. I think that's
Okay.
Devin.
Tom, I think this movie needs a rewatch. I think we
Oh yeah, sure. I'll get
gotta.
right on it.
So, how do we think they did with the money they had?
Fine. I mean, part of the problem is the problem with a low budget movie like this, in which characters get rich, is that they can't spend any of the money because the filmmakers don't have it. So one of the problems you pointed out is they can't leave this house that they all live in. They can't, like, they're million, like, they're literally blowing up millions of dollars at one point just for fun. But they have roommates. They can't, they cannot go anywhere, because,
Even the app got them a ton of money. presumably,
yeah,
right?
The app apparently got, I mean, apps like that, I think an app like that would be worth hundreds of millions of dollars, if not more, right? I mean, how much
I have no idea.
Yeah, it would be worth millions, at least. That's the implication.
Right.
They're not making 50 grand off that.
Right, right, right. They're walking away. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So they're millionaires in that way, but they have access to millions of dollars. Right. We see them. They even have a scroll that shows their bank accounts going up. You know, that type of cliche. So the problem with the money they have is they can't make it look like these characters got rich. And the argument, I guess, would be like, well, they can't leave the house because the mirror is in the house and they can't move the mirror. They make that as part of the plot, is that the mirror isn't exactly the right place to enter the parallel universe. But they could buy a better car, or they could buy a house and just continue to rent the house or buy the house. Well, I guess you wouldn't need to change the set then. So it just doesn't look like it makes any sense. And it's bizarre, the continuity too, things like, so there's, when they discover the mirror, this is something I texted you, they discover the mirror after drinking at night. And so they kind of find this empty attic. And when they go up to the attic, it's daylight. It's like noon.
Yeah.
And they just don't,
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't. And it's clear that it's not internal lighting. It's light from the outside.
Yep.
And so they want to do something where like they drank to the morning or something like that. And then they're in there in the morning or something, but they don't. They just, it's at night, and then they go into this other room, and they didn't bother to slice the continuity together. And so things in which you don't need money to do it correctly, right? Like making sure a night scene continues to take place at night, even when you move from one room to another, they don't do that well. And so I would say, I don't think they do that well with the money they have, in part because they kind of put themselves in a really awkward position. What do you think?
I agree. I think they needed to make the movie smaller, have smaller goals for the characters or clearer goals. And I think once they started having clearer goals, they would have had less of them, either less characters or less motivations for each of the characters. I wonder if this movie would have worked better as a TV miniseries or like a 6-episode season of a TV show. It feels pretty episodic.
Right? Yeah, there is a show that is coming out now with multiverses in which somebody on Apple Plus or Apple TV, there's a show in which Joel Egerton's character is kidnapping himself in another universe. So,
nice.
Yeah, you're right.
But even as a like a micro budget, mm-hmm. or like maybe even a YouTube web series,
mm-hmm.
Because right, they spend a lot of time with the app and the money and the stress and the neighbor or whoever that was that got to the app first, right? That seems like going to be a big plot point, but that kind of fizzes as well. But I think each of the characters then could have had an episode where they went through their arc dealing with whatever it was with the parallel universes, and then you could have tied them all together over the season.
Yeah, actually, that would have been an interesting structure where you have like Devin, and then you have his kind of story go on, and we get to know him. Yeah, that would have been much, much better.
So do you think a budget would have helped?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess in light of your argument, yeah, you could have stretched it out. You could have had it be a little more interesting.
I was thinking budget-wise, go the other way. What if it only took place in the house? Right? They leave the house quite a bit, especially when they go through the mirror. They're like in parking lots sometimes. They're like, if you could have done something more like Coherence, where they go through the mirror, sure, but then nobody ever leaves the house. So it's all in the house. Things can still happen outside of the house. Like maybe, so they, like the pitch, we don't have to see the pitch. Do a Reservoir Dogs where they'll come back and they talk about the pitch. Right?
Yeah. Actually, that would have been cool. That would have been a cool idea, because then you can actually create the wealthy world. You just don't have to, you don't have to show it, because the conceit of the film is that it's only in this house. We're only seeing things in this house. It also makes the house more of a character.
Mm-hmm. Which it should be, right? It's
it
a portal
be.
To other parallels.
Yeah, you sort of forget about it.
It's... Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. At the first act, it's just that thing that makes them money.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. The third act, it's that thing that they use to either kill themselves or swap people out. Like, it's... Yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah. Yeah, I think go in the other direction. That would be cool.
Might have been cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think Tom, does it make the list for you?
It goes to what is the criteria for being on this list? It's such a keep making movies movie, isn't it? Right.
So to me, the keep making movies movies is a connection with the director. I got to see what the director wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
My problem is I wasn't sure what the director wanted to do.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a no.
Okay.
It wasn't clear. They wanted to do the parallel universe thing, but then forgot to do the parallel universe thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that it just became a story of greed or something like that. Yeah, like if you looked, I don't know, whatever it was, we could see 2 days into the future, you would have had the same results. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think this movie is clear enough to make the list.
So it's official, audience. Parallel has not made the list. We'll watch some more of Isaac Esbon's movies and hope they do keep making movies so maybe we can get another Esbon movie out here.
Yeah.
Audience, what's your favorite movie by Isaac Esbon? Let us know on social media.
You can rate and review this show anywhere fine podcasts are available. For those viewing in YouTube land, if you haven't already, please like this video, subscribe to the Talking Studios channel for all our exciting content, and follow us on social media at Talking Studios. Check out other shows by Talking Studios, including Talking Pictures Trivia, where we explore movies through trivia, Limited Lexicon, where we play through text-based adventure games, Get the Point, where we slowly reveal a movie poster and try to guess which movie poster it is. And Adapt It, where we explore adaptations in various forms. Got a question for us? Call the Talking Studios hotline at 201-467-8679 and leave a message. It may be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Keep Making Movies, wherever fine podcasts are found.
Join us next time when we discuss The Collingswood Story from 2002. Stay tuned for our first impressions of The Collingswood Story. Next week, we'll be discussing The Collingswood Story. Tom, how was your watch?
I watch this, appropriately enough, on my computer, in my kitchen, and the watch remind me of the time I went to see the Blair Witch Project, which I am old enough to have seen at a relatively mature age in the theaters. So I actually went to the theaters, was old enough to have an experience of the Blair Witch Project, to experience the kind of culture that arose around the Blair Witch Project, to enjoy a late night screening, and to, in the screening of the Blair Witch Project, be completely bored and disappointed because lots and lots of camera angles of leaves lying on the ground is not something I find particularly terrifying, which is most of what the Blair Witch Project is. The Collingswood Story has many of those same problems. It presents itself as a horror movie. It's a similar experience to The Blair Witch in that there's this premise of found footage and looking in at something truly horrifying, something that isn't made but discovered, that really is there. But like The Blair Witch Project, most of the movie is build up to an ending that in these low budget films, you really can't decorate, right? You can't make that much out of it, and that's fine. It's a sort of a Jaws thing where you don't see the shark, and therefore the shark is all the more terrifying, all the more scary. However, there isn't a lot of things that happen in this movie, and the conclusion to the movie isn't very it doesn't kind of justify the time we spend with it, right? There just isn't enough stuff that happens even in the end to justify the build up to that ending. It's in some ways kind of obvious. There's no real surprises in the end there. And so the experience of watching the movie is watching a Zoom conversation in which nothing very much happens. So it's like going to work. It's like going to your job for about 80 minutes or so. How about you, KJ? How was your watch?
Well, you know, Tom, I'm going to let the audience know. So a lot of the movies on Keep Making Movies, I choose because I watch tons of these caliber of movies. I love them. And I'm kind of curating them. And one of the styles of movies I stay away from is horror and gore. And there's a lot of micro-budget movies that are horror and gore. And the gore movies are all trying to out-gore each other usually. And the horror movies usually fall into that trap. Because if you can put one gory scene in, I think it's good for marketing. It's like, oh, did you see the scene with the gore? So at first I stayed away from The Collingswood Story, but I watched this because it's right across the river. Collingswood is right across the river from Philly. So I thought it'd be fun to watch like a localish movie. And I've been to Collingswood quite a bit, actually. And like Tom's saying, it's probably heavily influenced by Blair Witch. This watch I watched a little bit with my wife on the big screen for about half of it, and then did half of it on the smaller screen. But audience, if you're nervous about it being a horror film, there's barely any horror. I don't think you're going to be scared. Sometimes there might be a black and white photo. So if you're creeped out by black and white photos, that might get you. There are some Blair Witch moments with a flashlight, and there is, towards the end, a frame or two with blood in it. But yeah, check it out. It's a one thing I think we're going to talk about a lot next week is it's a cool look at where technology was in 2002, or even where what the director might have been dreaming a little bit of what technology could do in 2002. The Collingswood Story is available on AMC Plus at the time of this recording. I've never hit play on AMC Plus.
I did not know. Oh, I did know it existed because it has all of the zombie television shows. The Walking Dead is now broken off into four or five shows.
Oh.
So it's all, that's the bread and butter, I think, of AMC Plus is more Walking Dead.
They should call it AMZ Plus.
Ah.
Wow, Talking Studios,